Let us go over to Bethlehem and let us see this word. And they found the infant. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Did you ever set yourself to looking for something, some perfect good gift for some good person, and you said, no, not this one, and not this one? You went through a great series of gifts until finally you went back to the very first that you came across. And you looked at it a second time in a new light, and you thought to yourself, yes, this would do nicely. Well, all Advent, I've been looking for a sermon story, just the right kind for Christmas, mind you. Only at the last, to remember the first that I came across one night early in Advent, quite by chance. Sometimes on a whim, I'll just take a book off the bookshelf and read myself to sleep with it. It was Cardinal Gasquet's Essays on Religion in England during the times of the persecution. And I read there the story of an old English Catholic, a Mrs. Lingard. She died at the advanced age of 92 years in the year 1824. And she reminisced once how she remembered when she was a girl, it was against the law to be a Catholic, period. And how once she rode in an open cart at night with her family. I'm thinking it was maybe for the midnight mass. And the priest who was to be the celebrant, he drove the cart, disguised as a family servant, wearing some kind of a uniform. He drove the cart that took them to Mass. Oh, I have an Irish story as well, just to be on the safe side. About the same era, 1772, again the time of persecution, equally in Ireland or worse, the mud wall of a thatched chapel, they used to call it a mass house, at Lasbrook, crumbled and fell apart on Christmas night. The following morning, the parishioners arrived for Mass to find themselves without a place of worship. For a while, this is interesting, they borrowed a sentry box from some friendly British troops who were stationed nearby. The men would carry the box over, or maybe the soldiers, and the priest would go in the box and the altar would be set up there, he and the server, and the faithful, they would kneel outside on the hard ground, the only ceiling being the very canopy of heaven. Finally, for some kind of a more permanent arrangement, they, to escape notice, built not a mass house, but a barn in appearance. And during the week, the barn was at that same mud wall, thatched roof construction you see so much of in the old Ireland. During the week, the farmers would meet there, and they threshed the wheat. But on Sunday, the barn became a Bethlehem, and that wheat made into bread was reborn as the body and the blood of God's Son. Boys would come, little boys, in preparation Joseph-like on Saturday night, and they would sweep out the barn, and then a couple of men would roll barrels, two barrels, to the corner of the barn and take the door off its hinges and lay it on the barrels. And there you have it, an altar. And there Christ's Mass was offered for some 8 or 9 years. This was back in the era when the Irish and the English, too, had their churches stolen from them. But no one could steal the faith. It would be only when prosperity came and the persecutions were long forgotten that their precious faith perished. Not under persecution, but just pressure. Sometimes it seems almost as strong, doesn't it? Pressure, I mean. The pressure to conform the one world church, to conform to the worldliness that wealth had brought the Emerald Isle. And when, of late, woe showed its face, they knew not where to go. Poor, foolish Irish, who will take care of you now? Who will help you out? Those were the dying words of an Irish saint, St. Lawrence O'Toole, the Archbishop of Dublin. A door on barrels. It seems to me I've offered Mass that way some point in my priestly life, and certainly I've said many a Mass in a barn, and in a sense, you know, this beautiful St. Gertrude Church started at Schapacher's dairy barn in Clarksville. I think it was 1978. Some of their children worship with us still. Mrs. Schapacher is very ill and needs our prayers. The Mass, of course, the old, the true, was strictly forbidden back then by the new church, and we had no place to go to use as a church. Ah, but such was our enthusiasm. The benefits of persecution, now it seems we only persecute each other. But then it was zeal and generosity and a holy longing to kneel down anywhere and to hear the priest and the server tell about going up to the altar of God in the old Latin, in tribo ad altare Dei. And it didn't matter when, and it didn't matter where. I wonder if we've lost it somehow in the shuffle, our own, towards a relative and very comfortable prosperity. I mean, that first gift we ever laid our hands on. Would you old timers who remember, would you go back if you could? I mean, to some stable, led only by the star of faith, to kneel on the floor and consider yourself blessed to be there and to be able to open your gifts and offer them to this very poor child shivering like you in the cold, to give him your gold. Well, they say you can't go back. But isn't that the whole charm of Christmas? The pull of past memories, half remembered, really, half imagined, but fragrant still, reenacted in family routines and customs, the past made present. And if you think of it, why, that is the Mass itself. Calvary, Bethlehem, made present here today. We go back, or rather, God's original present comes to us now in this present, and we are there. And how does it happen? And under what circumstances? And all about who? It is always in the person of a child. It's all centered on the child at Christmas. The Christ child, first, born once, a baby who is God, think of it, and born again at the consecration. He seems to be a baby, but he's God. It seems to be a wafer of wheat, to be bread, but it is God. So that when we tell him, as people will, delightful babies, that we love him so much, we could just eat him up. Why, that is exactly what we are invited to do at Holy Communion. Christmas is for the child. For us adults to honor that holy childhood and to let the innocent ones build upon it. We are bound solemnly to respect, to sanctify their sinlessness and never to touch it with our own sinfulness, and to let them see, let me see, and for us to see through their eyes. For Christmas is for the child. Is wonder in the eyes of a child only for them? Not Santa Claus, but Sanctus, and Sanctus, and Sanctus thrice. No, there remains that inner child they speak of in modern terminology, and who would that be? Why, that leaves you. You. Your roof is thatched with many a mistake, isn't it? To use the polite word for sins. And as they say today, you may have done some inappropriate things. Your mud walls are dried out and crumbling this Christmas night. But Christmas is about you, too, cast in probably as a child. How can that be? Oh, you're childish enough, aren't you? But somehow you don't manage even to respect the innocence of a child. It's all about self, and you're all plunged into sin. Where are you going to end up, my child? Unless you become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Going back, that should be enough to keep us, shouldn't it? I mean, to keep us coming back to Christ's Mass and our childhood. Christmas, all year round, really, right here at the altar, at Mass, where our youth is renewed ad Deum qui laetificat juventutem meam. You know, those Catholics of old who kept on going to Mass, think of it. Sunday after Sunday. They kept the faith, and they regained their youth week after week. And she died young, that Mrs. Lingard, despite her 92 years. How about you? Would you go back? Would I? Well, I know of no other way to go forward, nor to be true to God in the present. I think our church, our St. Gertrude the Great, we call it, our church, is a bit like Christmas for many. That is to say, there is beauty here, and there are memories, and it is all quite rich. But between the two of us, too much baggage from the past ever to be practical in the present. And so, tomorrow, we can't allow ourselves to be slowed down anymore. Back to the real world, back to taking down the tree. Some people will, of course, and turn on the TV and text away, and there you have it. You're back in your world, the real one. Hurry, though. Make haste, young people. Your world is coming to an end, and it will be consumed in flames. Whereas this one, this world of wonder, where you too once walked so proudly, this world of belief is all centered about a child. And a very demanding and time-consuming baby, I will admit. This world of Christmas at every Mass all year long, this world of the stable and of the sacrifice present here on this altar, this is the world we sing about, the choir and the celebrant. This is the world without end. Amen. And the only way, I think, to make it through today is to go back to yesterday, to your childhood and your innocence and the babies and the victims, to go back to yesterday made present today in Christ's Mass. What a future it holds for your tomorrow. As you lay hold of eternity, Sunday after Sunday. Those who did, those who came back to Christ's Mass in an open cart, in barns, under the stars, or in those rented halls, some of us remember, in persecution or just the inconvenience of not being popular. They kept the faith. They passed it on to you. And sometimes I wonder, will the third or the fourth generation of our Catholics, since the changes, since we started, will you go back? Will you come back again next Sunday? Or does it, all of this, die with you? Well, you're back tonight. And so it lives, past and present and future, this gift in a child. Merry Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.